This is KEMR Community News on Elkhorn Mountains Radio. My name is Chick Bruce, and now let's welcome in Charlie Dennison, the editor of the Boulder Monitor, and have a conversation about news going on in the local area. How are you today, Charlie?
Doing well, Chick. How about you?
I am doing all right. You know what? We talked last week about the jam-packed issue of the Boulder Monitor, and you weren't kidding. That was really full of great information, especially about Jefferson High School graduation. You have any news from graduation? Anything come out of the ceremonies this weekend?
Our reporter, Eliza McLaughlin, was there, and she said it went off without a hitch. It was an excellent ceremony, and Sheriff Tom Grimsrud gave the commencement speech.
That must have been quite a thrill for him.
Absolutely.
Now, one of the other articles in last week's edition was a story, a profile on the music director at Jefferson High School, Matt Bowman. I wanted to compliment you on that because not only was it a great story on Matt, but it was well-deserved. Mr. Bowman is a great teacher from what I hear.
I really enjoyed visiting with him and getting to know him a little bit.
Well, he certainly is a valuable asset at Jefferson High School. I've enjoyed working with him the past few years. And I just wanted to take one last moment to wish all of the Jefferson High School seniors that graduated, class of 2023, the best of success and best wishes from all of us here at Elkhorn Mountains Radio. Now, that was last week's edition, Charlie. You warned me that we've got a big issue coming up of the Boulder Monitor this week with some news about a new school principal at Boulder Elementary School.
That's right. Pretty exciting news. So, Butte native Doug Richard was hired as the new superintendent principal. And he actually was the former principal at Whitehall High School, as well as a shop teacher there. He's been splitting his time between Montana and Alaska the last few years. He's got connections in Alaska from his father, and then he married an Alaska woman, and she's all settled down in Whitehall now, though, and he's ready to get back to Jefferson County, and he's real excited for this opportunity. He loves kids. He's got a great personality. The board, the staff all are very enthusiastic about him coming in.
That's really good news and good for Boulder Elementary School because they've been kind of turning things around the past few years, and it's good to see them staying on track.
Yeah, and that being the case, you know, Doug Richards told me he knows he's got big shoes to fill with Jeff Elliott leaving, Boulder native Jeff Elliott, you know, who's done a remarkable job during his tenure since 2021.
Well, it's a tough job, and we welcome him here and wish him the best of success.
Absolutely.
Going to switch back over to Jefferson High School again across the street because this week's edition has some news about the sports teams at Jefferson High School that are just excelling this year. What can you fill us in on?
Yeah, it's been a great year for track, a great year for tennis, and a great year for golf. And we highlighted golf teams on our front page this week. So the boys and the girls both took second at state. The girls were very thrilled about this. It was their second year in a row making state, and before that, they'd never been to state. So very, very exciting. The boys won state last year. We're really hoping to repeat. So they're a little bummed, but they are very motivated for next year.
That is really great. And, you know, I cover the big sports, football, basketball, and volleyball, and try not to let the other sports slip away. So it's good that you've got coverage on the non-spectator sports, you know, where we're not drawing big crowds into the gym. People still are interested in what's going on with those teams.
We certainly try. We certainly do our best to do so. These kids all deserve recognition.
They sure do. Now, another story that you told me about that kind of piqued my interest, because I have a little bit of interest in it myself. about a bird watcher named Dan Ellison. What's in that story?
Yeah, Clancy's own, Dan Ellison. Eliza went out with him birding and kind of got introduced to the hobby and fell in love with it. And you'll fall in love with it too when you read her article.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. And that's coming up in this week's Boulder Monitor, right?
Yeah, and it sounds like, Chick, you've already fallen in love with birding.
Well, you know, I'll share a quick story with you. When we were all in lockdown during COVID, and there were no planes flying, and there were fewer cars out on the highway, you could hear the birds a lot more. And I started getting really attracted to how many, I mean, you see dozens of species of birds around here every day if you just keep your eyes open. So, yeah, it kind of caught my interest.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's a wonderful opportunity to not take that for granted, you know?
Right. The things that you miss sometimes.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned to me, Charlie, that there's another story coming up in the May 24th edition of the Boulder Monitor. That's exciting news about a Montana City student. You have any details you can share with us?
Yeah. So, Montana City 8th grader, Steele Hansen, was one of 8 students from Montana City, Helena, and East Helena who went to the first Tech Challenge World Competition for Robotics in Houston in April. He competed against 23 teams and earned the Best Design Award in the Edison division.
Wow, that's amazing. He must be
Absolutely.
Thrilled.
Absolutely, pretty exciting.
Yeah. And does he have future plans to continue in robotics?
He's just getting started.
So, yes. All right, Charlie, one more thing that you hinted at, and I just want to ask you about real quick that's coming up in this week's Boulder Monitor. There's some controversy in the North County Library System. What can you tell us and get us to read about?
Yeah, so back in April, North Jefferson County's Library Board was left primarily vacant after all but one of the board members submitted letters of resignation.
Wow.
So the board members are not talking with us at this time. We know very little about the situation. We will be monitoring it and working with the commissioners as they are working to appoint new board members. There are 3 new board members who have applied for seats, but there's some logistics the county commissioners are figuring out with the county attorney as far as how to move forward with this process.
Yeah, you know, it's complicated enough when one board member leaves, but when you lose 3 of them at once, that's got to make some work for the commissioners.
Yeah, well, a shout out to Beth McNamara, the last woman standing, the sole remaining board member.
Yes. I hope she can help maintain the continuity there as they get this straightened out. And hopefully it won't take long for the commissioners to find new board members because it's summertime and I know the libraries are popular places for kids during the summer.
Absolutely. The summer reading program is just around the corner. So yeah, hopefully they can get this resolved. And, I know they're also looking for employees as well.
Well, I'm glad you are keeping an eye on this, and we look forward to reading more about this story in future editions of the Boulder Monitor. It sounds like a very interesting story. So we're going to wrap this up this week with what are your Memorial Day plans?
Memorial Day plans, likely going to be with the in-laws in Billings. How about you?
I'm still putting my plans together, but I'm looking out the office window at a whole lot of yard work that needs to get done.
You know, I will say, speaking of Memorial Day, Larry Latin, a local veteran here, will be at the cemetery at 10:30 on Friday, and he will be putting flags up on the veterans' graves. And anybody who is interested in volunteering and helping him out, come out to the Boulder Cemetery, 10:30 a.m. Friday.
That sounds great. Thanks for getting that in there, Charlie.
Anytime.
And we wish you a very happy Memorial Day weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, likewise, Chip.
Thanks, Charlie.
We will have some more local high school sports to tell you about coming up in just a few minutes. In the meantime, let's look at some events going on around the Elkhorns. May 21st through the 27th is the 49th annual National EMS Week. This year's theme is EMS, where emergency care begins. A kids' day is planned for Thursday, that's this Thursday, May 25th, from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m., next to the Whitehall Volunteer Fire Department. All are invited to come out and meet the emergency workers. There is a wood painting class at the Boulder Community Library on Thursday, May 25th, starting at 6:30 p.m. And don't forget, there is a set of 22 books by author Michael Connolly for sale. Some of these are in very good to excellent condition, and others are brand new. 10 paperbacks and 12 hardbacks. They're only sold as a set. $15 takes them all. Cash only. If you are interested in these books, or you have an event that you'd like me to share with our listeners, please contact us here on the website contact page or send an email to admin@elkhornmountainsradio.com and we'll put you in touch with the bookseller. Now, with an update on news in the state and the region, here's Jay Scott from the Treasure State Radio Network with the best detailed news report on the radio, Made in Montana News.
This is Made in Montana News on the Treasure State Radio Network. I'm Jay Scott. Governor Greg Gianforte's office announced over the weekend that the Republican governor has signed into law Senate Bill 458, legislation that inserts binary reproduction-based definitions of male, female, and sex into dozens of areas of the state code. The bill, drafted by the conservative Montana Family Foundation, passed through the legislature earlier this year along party lines, with Republicans in favor and Democrats opposed. The bill's sponsor, Senator Carl Glimm, the Republican from Kelam, and other supporters framed the policy as a response to a rise in people identifying as transgender and said it would help ensure that Montana law defines residents based on their biological sex as identified at birth. When it was first introduced, constitutional and civil rights law experts said that Senate Bill 458 would likely violate the federal right to equal protection laid out in the 14th Amendment, as well as the Montana Constitution's right to privacy and dignity. Legal challenges are expected. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte has signed legislation giving Native American families preference in fostering and adopting Native children, including children in Child Protective Services. Governors in Wyoming and North Dakota have already signed similar laws this year. The measures are modeled after the Federal Indian Child Welfare Act, which Congress passed in 1978. In Montana, nearly 11% of all children are indigenous, but they make up 37% of those in foster care. That's according to the National Indian Child Welfare Association. House Bill 338 has also been signed into law. It brings transparency and accountability to the Indian Education for All Act, according to its sponsor, Representative Jonathan Windyboy. Enacted by the legislature in 1999, Indian Education for All requires recognition of Native American culture and a commitment to the state's educational goals to preserve indigenous culture and heritage. Montana was the first state to constitutionally mandate Indian education, but some say the law has not been adequately implemented. Representative Windyboy's bill establishes new requirements, stating that if a school district fails to file an annual report, it will be ineligible to receive any funding until the report is filed. Wendy Boy says, "My issue is that the schools receiving IEFA funds that are supposed to be used for IEFA curriculum, but they aren't being used that way." Wendy Boy says one of the schools allegedly used the funds to give teachers a pay raise. Wendy Boy said the legislation is especially important given an ongoing court case. Tribes in Montana and parents of 18 students have filed a lawsuit alleging that education leaders failed to teach the culture and heritage of Native Americans and thereby violated the state's constitution. Another one of Representative Jonathan Wendy Boy's bill became law over the weekend. The bill concerns the Montana Indian Language Preservation Program. Established by the legislature in 2013, the program, called MILP, was created to revitalize native languages traditionally spoken in the state. The program allows each tribe to produce resources that will help perpetuate language uses. A Montana Budget and Policy Center report says that Montana is home to 12 tribal languages, and of those, Assiniboine, Gros Ventre, and Montana Salish are critically endangered, meaning even the youngest speakers are elders, and they only speak the language partially or infrequently. Wendy Boy, who is of course Chippewa Cree, said there are 20 to 25 fluent Cree speakers left, and now zero Ojibwe speakers. In previous sessions, funding for the MILB has been one time only, meaning it had to be renegotiated each session, but Wendy Boy said this year, for the first time, the bill has no sunset date, meaning it will not have to be renegotiated. Montana has become the first state to specifically ban people dressed in drag from reading books to children at public schools and libraries, after Governor Gianforte signed the bill on Monday, but not without opposition and calls for legal action. Quote, "It's just constitutionally suspect on all levels," that's according to Shasha Burkett, an attorney with Lambda Legal, a national organization that seeks to protect the civil rights of LGBTQ+ community members, those diagnosed with HIV and AIDS. Bukert says the bill is an unconstitutional limitation on free speech. Legal action against that bill is also expected. Governor Greg Gianforte on Monday tapped Billings City Deputy Attorney Thomas Party to take over the district court bench in Yellowstone County. Party will succeed District Court Judge Michael Moses following Moses' retirement on July 1st. The Howard, South Dakota-raised lawyer has been a civil attorney for the city of Billings since 2015. Although a civil attorney, roughly 50% of his private practice includes criminal defense, according to his application to the governor's office. The other 50% was handling family law, real estate, banking, human resources, contracts, bankruptcy, and appeals. Party graduated from the University of Montana Law School in 1998. He also served 32 years, retiring with a rank of Master Sergeant with the Montana Army National Guard. Attorneys for the state of Montana are arguing that the state should not be held in contempt next week in Yellowstone County District Court because lawyers for the state attorney general's office believe that a unanimous Supreme Court decision handed them and not the American Civil Liberties Union of Montana a win. In a case that stretches back several years, the 2021 legislature changed state law regarding how genders on birth certificates can be changed. Instead of a one-page document that allowed residents to change it, the State Department of Public Health and Human Services rewrote the rules to require more process, which included a requirement of surgery and a judge's order. Two plaintiffs and the American Civil Liberties Union of Montana filed suit, and Judge Michael Moses stopped the law from going into effect and also ruled that the state must reinstate the 2017 practice adopted during the Bullock administration. The state argued that Moses' injunction left Montana without any policy or procedure for changing a birth certificate, so the Department of Public Health and Human Services created a new procedure for changing a birth certificate. That kicked off another round of court filings in which Moses ordered the department to revert back to the 2017 rule. Attorneys for the state said that because the 2021 law and the order commanding the department to reinstate the 2017 procedure were stopped by court action, that it had no other choice but to issue more rules in 2022. Furthermore, state attorneys also argue that Moses' order and a subsequent appeal to the Montana Supreme Court didn't address the 2022 rule, and therefore the department was free to adopt a new policy. Deputy Solicitor General for the state of Montana, Kathleen Smithgall, said the department viewed the order by the Supreme Court as a win for the department's rulemaking authority. Quote, not until plaintiff's counsel reached out demanding to know why the department was not complying with the 2017 rule did the department become aware that plaintiffs had interpreted the Supreme Court order differently. Four new federal prosecutors for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Montana will be hired in coming months, including two attorneys dedicated to working on tribal land caseloads. Quote, these new assistant United States attorney positions are a significant investment from the Justice Department and will strengthen our ability to address public safety across the state, especially in Indian country. That's according to U.S. Attorney Jesse Laslovich in a press release. In addition to the two tribal land attorneys, a third lawyer based in Billings will be prosecuting general violent crimes. The fourth will handle e-litigation work. That's normally electronic filings. All of the positions will be full-time. Two of the prosecutors will work on tribal cases. One will be in Great Falls or Helena. The other will be in Billings. If you need to hear this report again, please check the podcast on our Treasure State Radio or KGRTDB web pages. Made in Montana News is podcast worldwide, with listeners in now 50 U.S. states and Canadian provinces, 3 Native American nations, and 31 countries on 6 continents. We also post expanded versions of our stories on Facebook. Made in Montana News is heard on the Treasure State Radio Network, including KMEH, 100.1 FM in Helena, Elkhorn Mountains Radio in Jefferson County, Homegrown Radio in Bozeman, King West Radio in Billings, Rescast Radio of the Fort Peck Reservation, PIVA Radio of the Northern Cheyenne Nation, and Crow Res Radio of the Crow Nation. That's Made in Montana News. I'm Jay Scott. This is the Treasure State Radio Network.
Thank you, Jay. And remember, folks, if you like those Made in Montana news reports that Jay does for this weekly newscast, you can hear Jay and even more details on those stories every day on the Treasure State Radio Network and on those many great internet sources that he just told you about. Be sure to visit treasurestateradio.com for many more great Montana-made radio programs. In just a moment, USDA reporter Gary Crawford will remind us about outdoor food cooking safety. We'll take a look at some high school track and field results from the BC Divisional Meet last week. Greg Lemon is back with a report from the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Department. And we'll take a quick look at the weather forecast. Before all of that, let's take a short break for these messages.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you won't find PTSD by looking at a thermometer. Sorting out a mental health concern takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a bandage. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, call 1-800-662-HELP for free and confidential information and treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support.
United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and America's largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal law enforcement agencies through our many varied programs, including free safety equipment donations, free officer survival training, cash donations, and condolence letters to the family of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty. USDSA also offers college scholarships for the dependent children of law enforcement, along with a citizen awareness program and thank you cards to law enforcement. These are just some of the ways United States Deputy Sheriff's Association assists America's law enforcement and the citizens they serve. For more information about United States Deputy Sheriff's Association or to see how you can help, visit www.usdeputy.org. United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, taking training to the next level, because lives are on the line.
So, how are the kids?
Well, Emily made the honor roll.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, we're really proud of her. Tyler, on the other hand, though.
What's going on?
He's been moody lately, just feeling down and not like himself.
Oh, we've been there. Nick was struggling last spring. He was so anxious and stressed.
Really? What helped?
Well, he joined the soccer team. And ever since, he's been a lot happier. He has more energy, he's less stressed, and he's definitely in a better mood at home. It's made a huge difference.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad he's getting out of the house, he's getting some exercise, and he's off his phone for once. It's been good for his mental health.
Sounds like it's been good for your mental health, too.
Participating in Montana high school sports improves students' physical and mental health. Encourage your son or daughter to get involved. This message presented by the MHSA and the Montana Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
You are listening to Elkhorn Mountains Community News. Memorial Day is coming up, which means many of us will be using our outdoor grills. U.S. Department of Agriculture reporter Gary Crawford tells us about one cooking safety rule that we often forget. Here's Gary's report.
This just can't be summer love, you see.
Ah, yes, summer love. And many of us love summer and summertime outdoor grilling.
I do all of the grilling in our house. It's like one of my favorite things to do in the summer.
Meet Meredith Carruthers, food safety expert with the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Meat and Poultry Hotline, the number of which we'll give you in a minute. She says they get calls all summer long from people wanting to make sure that they're doing all they can to grill things safely so nobody gets sick. Things like using a food thermometer to make sure meat and poultry items on the grill get up to the recommended minimum temperatures to kill any bacteria that may be in or on the items, using one set of utensils and platters to handle the raw meats going onto the grill, another set of clean utensils and platters to handle the cooked products, and making sure raw meats or their juices never touch any other food items that won't be cooked, such as salads and such. But Meredith says there are two very important things that many people are either ignoring or just don't realize how important they are in helping to keep people safe from food-related illnesses. Hand jive. Yes. Yes, you got the jive. It's our hands. And Meredith says in a cookout situation or any time raw meat and poultry is involved, we need to be washing our hands a lot. And you know what? We don't do it. The USDA put dozens of people in test kitchens a while back, had them prepare a turkey burger and a salad, and they just watched everything they did.
97% of the time, people didn't either wash their hands at all or didn't do all five steps of hand washing for a full 20 seconds.
Oh, wow. Those test subjects were spreading bacteria all over everything. Now, this is a fact that most people don't know, but this next fact, very crucial for us cooking at home or on the grill.
Certain bacteria can live on surfaces for like 72 hours. So
3 days.
Think about it. You're making dinner. You've touched chicken, touched your spice containers without washing your hands. And then in the morning, you're cooking eggs and you want to use the same spice in your eggs or something. And then that gets all touched other places. So yeah, it's kind of crazy what your hands can move around.
Oh, yeah. And think about this. It's gross.
People, especially people my age, love using their phones for recipes nowadays. And you could be touching your phone with bacteria from a raw meat product and then not sanitizing your phone. And then, you know, you just go on with your regular life, touching everything with your phone.
Ooh, so Meredith says we need to wash our hands before we start any food prep and immediately after we've touched any raw meat or poultry product or the juices from them. Hand washing can help prevent food poisoning, which can cause quite a lot of discomfort.
But it could also be as severe as causing death.
Questions on this or any food safety subject, call the Meat and Poultry Hotline. Talk to an expert. The number 1-888-MP-HOTLINE. 1-888-MP-HOTLINE. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Thanks, Gary. The U.S. Department of Agriculture asked me to remind you that if you have any questions about cooking or food safety, the USDA's Meat and Poultry Hotline number is 888-MP-HOTLINE. That translates to 888-674-6854. Our listeners can also go online to ask.usda.gov. And remember to take a little bit of time to visit the USDA.gov website for even more news and information that affects our agriculture, picnicking, and forestry. In local sports news, the county high school track teams were in Laurel last week for the combined BC Division track meet. The Jefferson Panther boys took first place in the division with 105 team points, outpacing second place Red Lodge, who had 82.5 points. Broadwater took third overall. Jefferson rested some of their track stars who had already qualified for the state meet. But Panther Luke Mess still took first place in the 1600 meters and the 3200 meters, and Dylan Root took first in both the 110 meter and 300 meter hurdles. Dalton Noble won the shot put competition and took second in the discus. The Lady Panthers finished seventh in the division meet, with Claire Ronayne getting fourth place in the 100-meter race and finishing sixth behind teammate Emma McCauley in the 200 meters. McCauley also got a third-place finish in the 100-meter hurdles. Mackenzie Lang took third in the javelin throw. The Jefferson Panther teams will be in Butte this weekend for the MHSA Class AA and B State Track and Field Competition. As Charlie and I talked about earlier, the Jefferson High School boys and girls golf teams both took second place at the state golf tournament last week. Congratulations to those golfers on a great season. And also, congratulations to another Jefferson Panther team having an exceptional season. The Jefferson Lady Panther tennis team is playing in the state tournament this week. Best of luck to all of the teams and athletes. Let's check in now with Greg Lemon from the Montana Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, who's back this week with a report about citizen advisory committees and how important they are. Here's what he told the captain on the Montana Outdoor Radio Show last Saturday morning.
Morning, Captain. FWP is always looking for ways to get the public involved with the decisions we make and the programs we manage. One way we do this is by hosting regional citizen advisory councils. These councils function as advisors to help FWP identify emerging trends and resolve conflicts. And the members act as FWP ambassadors to various interest groups and geographic communities. The CACs meet several times a year. FWP staff benefit from these CAC members by getting a deeper understanding of public priorities and expectations. Currently, we are seeking CAC members for our Region 3 CAC. Members should live within Region 3, which includes much of Southwest Montana. If you're interested, please call 406-577-7891. If you don't live in Region 3 but are interested in being involved in your local CAC, please call your local FWP office for more information. Bear activity is picking up dramatically around much of the state. In Missoula, for example, conflicts have increased in recent weeks with black bears getting into garbage and other attractants. In some circumstances, bears in search of food have entered buildings, causing safety concerns. To help avoid conflicts with bears, please make sure you secure your attractants like pet food, bird feeders, and garbage. If you live in an area without bear-proof garbage containers, please keep your garbage inside until the morning of pickup day. Avoiding conflicts keeps people, communities, and bears safe. For a ton of good information on living in bear country, which most of us do, go online to fwp.mt.gov and search for Bear Aware. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks, Captain.
Thank you for that report, Greg. Greg Lemon from the Montana FWP spoke with the captain on the Montana Outdoor Radio Show. That was the recording that you just heard. Now, you know you can listen to Greg and the captain live on the Montana Outdoor Radio Show every Saturday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. on your way out to the fishing hole. Just tune your AM radio to one of their 27 radio station affiliates throughout our region, including KMON 560 AM in Great Falls and KCAP 950 AM in Helena. And remember, you can always listen to their past shows anytime by going to MontanaOutdoor.com. The National Weather Service is predicting some rain showers for the Elkhorns this week. Rain is in the forecast through Saturday night, with some clearing expected by Sunday morning. Those sunny skies on Sunday won't last very long, though, as clouds will gather in the afternoon and more showers are expected. On Monday, Memorial Day, look for clouds in the morning, clearing out to sunny skies later in the day. We'll be warming up throughout the week with a high on Wednesday around 70 and then cooling off to around 65 on Thursday, then warming back up into the mid-70s on Friday and into the weekend. Lows at night will be in the high 40s and low 50s. There isn't a whole lot of rainfall expected, somewhere between 1/10 and 1/4 of an inch each day of these storms, but there could be more rainfall in the afternoon thunderstorms. Winds will be light and will switch from the northeast to the southwest late Friday. A quick peek into next week's forecast looks like this weather might be with us for a little while longer. Now, we all know Montana weather is pretty much unpredictable, and we are lucky to have a meteorologist, John Pulaski, here on KEMR providing updated weather information and forecasts for all of Montana and the entire region on his Weather by John program. Weather by John is updated 5 times a day, so there's always fresh weather information waiting for you. Stay tuned for Weather by John's latest report coming up right after this newscast. This is Chick Bruce. Thank you for listening to this edition of Elkhorn Mountains Community News, recorded on May 24th, 2023. We hope all of our listeners have a fun and safe Memorial Day weekend. This is KEMR DB, Clancy, Montana, USA.